someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come. The second reading is also from the Gospel, Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is within you." There ends the readings.
I love the way Jesus explains things. He didn't go into long scholarly explanations arguing his point. He told stories. He painted pictures with words. He used the ordinary things of life to reveal the big picture of God. Like today's first scripture, where the kingdom is compared to a seed. God's mighty kingdom is compared to a tiny little seed planted by a faithful and hopeful farmer or gardener. A seed which, while the gardener isn't even looking, starts to grow and grow until it produces a stem and roots and leaves and a head and eventually is ready to harvest. I bet that farmer was always a little amazed that it worked year after year. Some of you who are gardeners probably know that feeling. So I thought, if the kingdom of God is like a seed just waiting to grow, I should look at what a seed is like and how it grows. Keith, can I get you to change that? Thanks. There are three main parts of a seed: the seed coat, the embryo, and the endosperm, or the food stored in the seed. Seed coats enable the seed to endure long periods of drought or heat or freezing temperatures, yet are ready to spring to life when favorable conditions arise. The stored food provides the energy to start the seed growing before the first little shoots poke their heads above ground and photosynthesis can start. The embryo is the baby plant, composed of an embryonic root, stem, and leaves. All parts of the seed play a critical role in its germination and growth, but the embryo is the place where all the information is. The embryo is the blueprint for the kind of plant it will develop into. It contains the instructions for the root to grow down and the shoot to grow up, always. No matter which way you plant it, it's tiny, but it contains all the information needed to turn a seed into a stalk of wheat, or a bean plant, or a marigold, or a sunflower. You might say that the embryo is the soul of the plant, the core, the true self. We can go back to the regular slide now, Keith. Another time when Jesus was asked the big kingdom question, "When is the kingdom of God coming?" he said, "It's right here, under your nose. Don't be looking over there or here or far off in the future. It's here right now. The kingdom of God is within you." Some translations say the kingdom of God is among you. Either way, it's closer than you thought. So the two scriptures today paint us a picture. The kingdom of God is like a seed. Everything it needs to sprout and root and grow is available. And it's right inside of us. And it's among us. Look around at all your fellow churchgoers today and imagine the kingdom of God springing up in all the people that we know. What does that look like? The Pharisees and many others of that time were looking for a king that would come and knock the Romans off the throne and restore Israel to its former glory, like the days of King David and King Solomon. But that's not the kind of kingdom that Jesus had in mind. Back in February, Reverend Julia asked what the kingdom of God would look like to us. And what were some of our answers? What did we envision? What would your answer be today? What does the kingdom of God look like to you? You tell me and I'll write them down. Pardon? Love? Kindness? Acceptance? Unison. Unity? Mm-hmm. Forgiveness? Freedom. Great words. Pardon? Inclusive. Peaceful. Unconditional love. I'm sure many of you thought of a particular person that exemplifies the kingdom to you. Pardon? Family. And friends. No hunger. This is a big order. What was the other one? Hope. Fulfilled needs. Yeah. So where would all this come from? All this love and kindness and acceptance, unity, forgiveness, freedom, inclusivity, peace, unconditional love, great relationships, family and friends, no hunger, hope. Does this come from our government, the government we elect? I got a laugh at DeWinton when I said that, and I hadn't really intended that to be funny, but you never know. Is it the leaders we follow? Is it from the professionals we hire or the teachers we learn from? Who is it up to bring this kingdom that we imagine into being? Just like the people in Jesus' time, we tend to look outside of ourselves for the answers to our questions and problems. We ask, when will we see justice for those people on the margins of society? When will we see children going to bed with full tummies? When will we see our Indigenous brothers and sisters living in dignity and prosperity? When will we see freedom, acceptance, kindness, forgiveness? All these things that you imagine to be signs of the kingdom of God, when are they coming? And who is going to make them happen? Jesus told them to stop looking for a mighty king or a warrior, to stop looking out there. He said the answer to injustice and poverty and hunger and homelessness was not out there. It was right here, waiting to grow within and among us. How can this be? We just sang the answer. What can I do? What can I bring? What can I say? What can I sing? I'll sing with joy. I'll say a prayer. I'll bring my love. I'll do my share. We have the answer within us. It is a beautiful thing, this kingdom within us. It's as natural as breathing or eating or walking or sleeping. It is what God created us to be and do. Number one, we are designed to be kingdom people. Number two, we are designed to be a specific part of the kingdom. Not the whole thing, just our part. And number three, the kingdom is about life, about abundant living for everyone. So number one, we are designed to be kingdom people. Right from the start, God created us in God's image. We were told to go forth and multiply and take care of the earth. God scattered us, the little kingdom seeds, everywhere. We aren't just supposed to multiply physically, we are also supposed to multiply spiritually. Remember, God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. We are made in God's image. And that includes having God's characteristics like creativeness, love, protectiveness, concern for justice and peace. God imagined a world of abundance and loving relationships, and we are to be the seeds of that abundance. Of course, we messed things up, and we still do. But that doesn't change God's plan. We are still the children of God and still created to carry on the plan of God, the love of God, the life of God throughout the world. Isn't that good news? Even when we are weak and messed up or reluctant, God still allows us to be part of his kingdom. God looks at me and God looks at you and says, "Look at my child. I have great hopes for that one. I know what they can do." And we can look at ourselves that way and ask, "What can I do? What can I say? What can I sing? What can I bring? What was I created for?" Then we can wait for the answer with expectation. And we can expect things to get shook up a bit if we take that answer seriously. Letting that seed grow is a bit unsettling. We've got these familiar lives going on, you know, the day-to-day comfortable security and sameness. We get up, we eat breakfast, we get on with our chores or work or school, we drive, we shop, we meet a friend for coffee, we eat lunch, we eat supper, we watch TV, and we go to bed. And then we repeat it. Sometimes we kick it up a notch with a trip or a movie. Why would we want anything more than this wonderful, familiar life? The seed, all secure in its package or buried deep in the dry earth, if it could talk, might say, "This is the life. This is what I was made for." But then one day, it starts to rain. And the sun heats up the earth around the little seed, and its hard shell starts to soften and expand and crack open. If I was a seed, I'd be freaking out about now. I'd be running around, patching my shell, and trying to dig myself deeper into the ground. But that's not how life works. Once the water and the light get in, there's no going back. That seed is going to grow. "Wait, what's this? I'm sprouting. I didn't know I could do that. What's this thing going up? What's this thing going down? Hey, it's getting bright in here. What's happening?" Jesus said in John 12:24, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." But oh, that dying. It's hard. We can't imagine another life, a better life. But God can. God is in us, in that kingdom life. And even though it looks and feels like dying, it's actually living, abundant living, extraordinary, real living, God-like living. We are not alone in that sprouting, growing, changing life. God is with us all the way. And we don't have to do it all. We are just asked to be one specific part of the kingdom. Speaking metaphorically, some of us are carrots and some of us are peas. Some of us are trees and some of us are flowers. Some of us are mushrooms. That's you introverts. You also have a place in the kingdom. Each of us is part of the kingdom. Maybe you're a worker behind the scenes. Maybe you're an activist. Maybe you have a particular soft spot for kids or single moms or men in prison. That's your part in the kingdom. That is where you will bloom. The kingdom of God is meant to be life-giving, life in its fullness. When we live as kingdom people, we bring life to our part of the world. When we stop protecting ourselves like a seed inside its hard little coat, when we allow the world to penetrate right into our hearts and crack them open, we really start to live. And when we start to live, we bring life into the world around us, into our church, into our family, into our community. We know what it's like to live in a shell. We did it for much of the last 4 years. Was that life? No, it was terrible. All we wanted to do was get out and hug people and shake hands and get back into our community. We wanted to get back to life. And we also know what it's like to break out of our shell and get involved in something bigger than ourselves. When disaster strikes or tragedy or need, people find the love of God welling up in their hearts and they get to work. I used to live in Yellowknife. When Yellowknife was evacuated last year due to wildfires, my grandson and his girlfriend drove the family vehicle through the still smoldering forests out of the NWT and down here to Calgary. All along the route, people were providing food and water and accommodations. Communities along the way opened their doors and their hearts to the evacuees. And this happens all the time. We have the seed of the kingdom of God within us. It just takes the right conditions and the willingness to grow. Being kingdom people is what we are designed for. The potential is within us. The ability is within us. The life is within us. The idea is within us. The prompting is within us. God is within us. All that little kingdom seed needs is a little encouragement to grow. Please don't take this teaching as another item on your to-do list. Just let the kingdom of God spring up in you in your own unique way. Don't be afraid. It's as natural as a seed starting to grow. Let's take a moment now to reflect about what seed is within you that is dying to burst forth and create a small part of God's kingdom in your part of the world. Ask yourself, what do I feel stirring in my heart as I reflect on Jesus' words, "The kingdom of God is within you."